Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
1 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live on 102.5, 106.3, the game at Titans training camp today. And, you know, D-Mace gets him a clip of scoring a touchdown. I obviously have done nothing to warrant that. But, you know, we couldn't find any Medicine Hat Blue Jays calls of Willie Donick from back in the day to put that in there. That would have been kind of fun.
Man, I wish we could find the tape. There was a guy that used to do our games, and he was so loud. If there was a small crowd on a given day, which happens sometimes, summer in Medicine Hat, you could hear everything the guy was saying. So if you were at the plate, and he'd be like, Donick is 2 for his last 21, stepping up to the plate. I'd be like, dang, what is my – what?
2 for 21. Good Lord.
I'm in a slump, man. Like, anything good or bad, it was there for everybody. It's like he knew maybe not everybody in the town was listening to the radio, but everybody at the game would be interested in hearing what he had to say. So he was broadcasting for the crowd there.
Before we hear who Todd Downing has been impressed with, I believe you have something to say, Mr. Donick.
I do. I just want to give a quick shout-out to Aaron Donick, 25th anniversary today, August 2, 1997, Lexington, Virginia, nice. On the campus of Washington and Lee University. So we were married on that day, and so we're still kicking. We're still rolling. So shout-out to Aaron Donick.
Well, Aaron,
I feel good about the decision still.
Look,
to this day.
Willie, I say this.
I think she feels good about the decision, too, I think.
I say this with
she
all.
She told me that this morning. I don't know if she's just kind of, you know, throwing it out there.
She's just trying to get you out the house.
I hope Aaron's listening, and I say this with all respect towards you, Willie, but you outkicked your coverage, and you should thank God every day for that.
I've been told that more than once over the 25-year span, and so I'm cool with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Aaron,
I would agree.
Aaron is one of the nicest and most genuine people I've ever met. So congratulations and happy anniversary to you and Aaron.
Thank you.
And two awesome kids out of it, too.
Absolutely. So happy anniversary, my brother.
All right. Todd Downing earlier today addressed the media, and he said that he really likes the progression of rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks.
I'm excited to see his growth. You know, when we came back from the summer break and started to get into that pre-camp, it was, I think, still knocking a little rust off and figuring some things out, but he's been doing a great job of taking some of the coaching points that we're giving him and applying them to the next time he gets that opportunity. So when you have a young player like that, particularly when he missed the time in the spring, it's so important that he uses that time to build chemistry with the quarterback and, you know, to make sure that he's honed in on some of those details. So really excited to see his progression and the trajectory he's on, but you got to stay hungry and stay at it.
Along those lines of the chemistry, you see like back shoulder throws and things like that, that they're complete, and how impressed have you been, you know, that timing is there already?
Yeah, you saw, you know, a lot of that body control and ability to adjust to the ball in the air, you know, at Arkansas, and I think that it's good, you know, to build that confidence between the quarterback and the receiver that, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go make this play, and it's going to be you or nobody. And Treylon's, you know, come out on the top end of that a couple of times. And you just got to continue to build that through repetition. You know, that confidence is built through that consistent achievement, you know. So you got to continue to put them in those situations and see how they respond.
Todd Downing, Titans offensive coordinator, talking about rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks. And we started the show talking about this, Derek, of, you know, his confidence. And you see when he's making plays and, you know, there's been some that obviously he hasn't made it. I mean, Woodside threw a ball way above him today, and he tried to go up and get it, and I thought he was going to get it. He definitely has some length that helps him be able to make catches like that. But it's all about reps. That helps you build confidence, and it seems like the OC is pleased with him right now.
Yeah, I think on that particular play, he was tired. You can just tell. I could tell how he got into his route. He was sort of like that third progression, the backside. He had a backside in, and it was almost like he glided in there. He didn't expect the ball to come to him. The ball was a little bit high. You could tell he was a little bit tired, too. But those are things that as he continues to, you know, stack practice on top of practice, he will understand just because I'm the backside, you know, of a play and more than likely it won't get to me. There's that one time that it might get to you and you need to be ready. So these are things that rookies figure out. And if they don't figure out, then they won't be on the field. But he seems like a guy that figures things out very quickly and doesn't want to, you know, go out there and make the same mistake over again.
I saw this, you know, really, I've seen this every day, but today it really dawned on me. There's a pretty good crowd here today, a lot of the season ticket holders. The media, we've known from the start, it just really further illustrates how much under the microscope this guy is. People are going to ask about him every day. And to his credit, every day he's getting the ball thrown to him a lot, which means he's getting open. He's doing something right. And he's catching the ball. He's making some plays that even if you don't know anything about the context of the drill they're doing, you know, what are they trying to accomplish with each play they're running, if he's the first look, the second look, or whatever, when they're throwing it to him, he looks like a first-round pick. He's got those long arms, and he's making some plays. And there is a huge reaction with the team, everybody watching practice. There's a bigger reaction when he makes a play than virtually anybody else on the field because of the circumstances. And so I think he's handling that part really well. To me, that only can make him better. I think he understands that whether he likes it or not, he's going to be scrutinized like he's never been scrutinized before. But hopefully that drives him to make those little improvements.
I feel like it is. I mean, I have never, you know, there was obviously a concern in many camps of the asthma and was he in shape and all those things. But I've never felt like he was crumbling under any pressure or you know, knowing that he's got to replace A.J. Brown and things like that. I've never really felt that that was an issue with him. One thing that you just said, Derek, that I find interesting because, you know, I've noticed him getting some reps, you know, with both the ones and maybe with Woodside and stuff too, is what is the balance of not, you know, of getting him his reps, maybe getting him more work than, you know, say Robert Woods would need, but also not wearing him out in training camp at the same time?
Well, you, for a rookie, you got to gauge – you know, how hard you push him.
Sure.
With, okay, I don't want to put too much on this young man. And because some guys are able to, hey, listen, I'm going to throw you out there, and you're going to be out there every play, and I want you to switch positions and do all this other stuff. Some guys can adapt to that. Some guys are fine. Some guys you do that to, and it just totally destroys them, you know. They're out there because they can't. They're so used to just learning one position that you ask them to do more than one thing, then it throws them off. So they got to sort of balance. We want to put a lot on you, but we don't want to overwhelm you. And with having Robert Woods out there, I think that's a big plus for Traylon, because if he ever feels overwhelmed, he could turn around and say, hey, listen, you know, Robert, what should I go talk to the coach?
Yeah.
Should I go talk to the quarterback? What should I do in this situation? Because I'm not quite picking up on things. Or, you know, Robert might say, hey, listen, I help you anytime you need it, which I'm pretty sure that would be his response. I help you anytime you need help. But, hey, if you're not feeling something, go talk to the coach. Go talk to the coordinator. Go talk to Ryan, and he will get you back on point. So you got to have this real delicate balance with guys that you want to contribute very quickly. You don't want to pile too much on them because it could have an adverse effect if you try to dump all this stuff on them and expect them to learn it.
And isn't it interesting that you have not heard a peep about the asthma or the conditioning or anything?
No.
He has gone. And it's now, it hasn't been as hot as it can be at this time of year in this town, but – you know, it's not like it's 60 degrees, you know, so he's handled everything. He's answered all the questions on day one. That's when all those questions came his way. And since that day, there has not been a question about that. That's to his credit, knock on wood. I mean, he has really, with each passing day, it appears he has tackled all that stuff to where that's all in the rear view.
I think he took ownership of it and he's done something about it. And, you know, I think you got to praise him for that. which we have, that he's, you know, he's been able to overcome that.
The other thing that we haven't seen yet, which I think I'm excited to watch once we get more in a game situation, and it remains to be seen how much he'll play in the preseason games, given the fact that you probably won't see Derrick Henry at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you'll see Ryan Tannehill at all. People seem to be having a different mindset of how to use these three preseason games. But that's the run after the catch. You know, that's a big element to his game. Statistically at Arkansas, the screen game, some of those other things that and we can't really get a gauge of that. But let's just hope that if that's there, that's even more encouraging, because every play he's making is a down-the-field catch that I'm seeing. At least there's a lot of them. I don't know about every one. But
yeah.
He's catching balls in the corner of the end zone, using the reach. He's catching balls over the middle. He's catching deep balls. So all of that is good. And there's still a dimension there that is supposed to be a strong suit for him that we haven't really seen yet.
Coming up next, you'll hear from the new Titans tight end as he spoke today and talks about building his reps with quarterback Ryan Tannehill. We'll also give you an MLB trade deadline update a little later on. This week's Nashville's best deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Chase Willie and D-Mace live at Titans training camp today. We'll be back here on Thursday as well, and all of our training camp coverage, if I could actually find the liner, that would be helpful, is, where is it? I should have had that pulled up. But is presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Appreciate them for jumping on board. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And we were talking about Treylon Burks. One thing that Ryan Tannehill brought up with him yesterday was building chemistry, and, you know, that he feels like they are getting on the same page, which I think has been a very, very good thing. He's done the same with Robert Woods. Austin Hooper, Titans tight end, discussed getting reps with his new quarterback earlier today.
How's the chemistry that with Tannehill that you emphasized so much during the offseason program? How's that coming along?
Again, just, you know, reps. Just need more reps. I mean, it's not, you know, built over the course of, you know, spring or a week in training camp. I just really think it's something that's built over, you know, hundreds if not thousands of reps. So when you see me sneaking over during a special teams period or after practice, try and spot it up, I just need those reps. Just see the ball coming out of his hand, like his angle, where how he, you know, sees my body move, like what's my tell when I break, stuff like that. Just little subtle things that, you know, you can't replace other than just repetition and time. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a tedious process, but it's a necessary one.
There you go. That is Titans tight end Austin Hooper. And Derek, I mean, you hear him say something like that. I mean, doing some extra work just to get on the same page, get that chemistry. That, I think, is very, very important because of how much Ryan Tannehill relies on the tight end.
Yeah, it is. And how much, not just Ryan, I think this offense relies heavy on, you know, the tight end play. And last year they suffered because they didn't have, you know, consistent productivity in the passing game from the tight ends. So, you know, the more he can do on field with Ryan Tannehill, the better. Again, I'll go back to, you know, you just don't have the time that you need to build that rapport anymore during the offseason. And I know people are listening and say, well, they can, you know, travel and then meet up. Yeah, that's all good. They can, but they have lives too. They have families too. They have, you know, trips and things that they got to commit to with their family. So, you know, but at least, you know, before the new collective bargaining agreement, they spent a lot of time in the offseason at this building honing in on their skill, building that rapport, building that mental relationship that you need to have in the passing game. So Hooper's right. Any opportunity he can get with Ryan, he takes it. I said yesterday, anytime Ryan's on the field, there are two or three people that need to be on the field with him besides Derrick Henry. That's Hooper, that's Woods, and that's Treylon Burks. I'm not saying Nick Westbrook-Akina shouldn't be, but he and Ryan have built up that relationship over the last few years. Well, those other guys haven't.
Sure.
And they need to. You know, so they need to be out here on the field. Anytime Ryan's on the field, they need to be on the field.
Yeah. So. No, I agree with you, and especially I would throw Chick Okonkwo in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Chick as well.
You know, because I think he's definitely going to play a factor when it comes to the tight end position with the Titans this year. And, you know, you want Austin Hooper to be the Austin Hooper you had a few years ago in Atlanta. But, you know, I think at the same time, if you can get Chick Okonkwo as a part of this offense too, that's going to be a good thing.
Well, and I'm looking forward to seeing what – Hooper does well. What's the best utilization of him? You know, is he a cross between a Jonnu Smith, a Delanie Walker? You know, what? How does he do in the blocks? You know, do you want him blocking on the key guy? Can he help spring Derrick Henry? All of the things that are subtleties of the tight end position, because there are some really good pass catchers that you want on your fantasy team, but offensive coordinators are using them only to catch passes and not really do all of those other things. Like the grunt work that separates the great tight ends. Like George Kittle is a tremendous blocker as well as a tremendous receiver. That's a separator for him. And hopefully his body can hold up for the next few years, because it does take its toll after a while. So I'm looking forward to how they utilize Austin Hooper, and you hear him, you know, emphasizing reps and doing those things. I'm sure he's also learning where they want to fit him in this offense, because there was a time where you could play a lot of snaps on this team and not catch a lot of passes because the tight ends were asked to block first and foremost. And Hooper's a guy that hopefully can do a little bit of both.
Yeah, and I they're going to be looking for that. What did you guys think? If we talked to Caleb Farley earlier today, you know, his progression is really, you know, I called it the red shirt year. Didn't really get a lot of time on the field. You heard him say that he wished he had had more in-game reps than he got. But so far, I feel like he's had a nice camp. And Shane Bowen, his defensive coordinator, talked about that a little bit too and felt like he was having a nice camp. But what did you guys – oh, and we actually have that clip. Here is Shane Bowen talking about Caleb Farley.
How much is that, Shane, on a guy, on a rookie quarterback coming in to work both?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot. Like, I do. I think the skill sets are totally different in man coverage. Right, what you're seeing route-wise is totally different in man coverage. And then with us, schematically, I mean, there's a lot of communication that's involved with that nickel and those linebackers when we get in penny defense. So, and I think he's handled it. So, in my mind, they're two totally different positions. They really are. Like, there's some things that carry over between them, but we asked a lot of our nickels, and he's been able to go in there and handle it.
There you go, Shane Bowen talking about second-year corner Caleb Farley. But, Derek, what was kind of your impressions of talking to Farley and then hearing his DC?
It's just a kid that's appreciative. Yeah. He's happy that he's back on the field. He's happy that he's relatively healthy. And I'm sure he's starting to feel like his old self again. Now, he's been dealing with injuries for basically 2 years, really. From when his college, his last college year.
Yeah, and even going back before that.
Yeah, so he's dealt with a lot of injuries. So I know he's been frustrated. And so that gratitude comes from frustration of not being able to be on the field. Because like you said, listen, I've been playing football since I was 6 years old and been in the past since I was 6 years old. And to not be able to be out there, especially after you get drafted by in the first round, and there's this high expectation of you, and then for you not to be able to be out there, that is frustration. But the gratitude comes out because now he's on the field. Shane Bowen sees things in him that allows him to be optimistic moving forward. But it's like any other position. You just stack day on top of day on top of day. And just because you have a bad day doesn't mean, you know, you can't make it up the next day.
I was concerned that he would not be at this level practicing this early in camp. I thought they might wait a little bit longer. So I think he is really doing well to be out there and getting the reps, because when you haven't played that much, you need reps even more than anybody else. I was really interested to hear him talk a little football with us. because I think everybody's trying to wonder the same thing. Can his body hold up? Is his body cut up? Is it cut out for pro football? Because there are some guys that, if they're healthy, can play pro football, but they just can't be healthy. There's some great pitchers in Major League Baseball that are capable of throwing the ball 100 miles an hour, but they're not capable of staying healthy for more than a couple weeks before the arm goes. So we'll see about Farley. But I like his makeup. I like his attitude. I think that comes through in our conversation with him. And I wanted to ask you, D-Mace, about him. You don't see a lot of 6'2 corners. He's unique. He's taller and longer than the average corner by far, right? Like McCreary, he's a guy that's had to overcome the lack of that, right? But he's doing that in his own way. So when you line up against a guy who's that unusual, I don't know who would be the taller corners you face, but what were some of the tendencies that you have to be aware of when you're playing a guy like that?
Samari, Samari was about closer to 6 foot. He was above 5'11", closer to 6 foot. But the thing with Samari is he had long arms.
Yeah.
But a guy that I had to deal with that had long arms and was tall was Nnamdi Asamoa. I think Oakland drafted him.
Yep.
He had 3 or 4 really good seasons with them, and then probably a little bit longer than that. Then he went to Philadelphia, and it seems like things just kind of went downhill, got injured or whatnot. But he was a guy that it was difficult to go against him because not only did he have long arms and he was physical, but he had the ability, his hips. He had loose hips. He was able to turn his body with receivers, drop, and get in and out of breaks himself. So you really had to study him and try to figure out a weakness or use your quickness against him.
Coming up next, the Major League Baseball trade deadline is nearing, and there are a flurry of moves that are starting to come through, including the latest with Juan Soto and what's happened there. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. And speaking of baseball, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road facing the Norfolk Tides, AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. More coming here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and T-Mace. We're at Titans training camp, but Major League Baseball, the trade deadline is a few hours away. 5 o'clock Central Time is when the trade deadline will be. But a flurry of moves coming through, Willie, including what is the latest on Juan Soto? Is it done?
It's not done, but everybody's still reporting that it has been, quote, agreed to. Juan Soto, when we took the airwaves this morning at 10 o'clock, it came down in that first hour of the show, and Juan Soto is headed to the Padres. Now, as the details started to come out on who's going back to Washington, it's a boatload of prospects, but one of the things that it hinged on was Eric Hosmer, who was signed by the Padres a few years ago. He's got one of those really long contracts. He's getting a little bit older. He's really not worth the money anymore. They're trying to shed the salary. So what it looked like it was going to be was Hosmer and 5 prospects, including Robert Hassel III, who grew up here in Nashville, went to high school, I think, at Independence High School,
yep.
A very, very high-rated prospect, high first-round pick. He's among the group going back to Washington. But they wanted to get Soto and Josh Bell, another really good hitter who hits behind Soto in the lineup, and that would really give the Padres a lot. But the problem is Eric Hosmer has a no-trade clause and has nixed the deal.
Has a 10-team no-trade list, and Washington was one of them.
So yep. That killed that part of the deal. Now, Jeff Passan from ESPN says there are other versions of the deal. It will still get done. Soto will end up going to San Diego. But in the meantime, Eric Hosmer has been traded to the Red Sox. I can't for the life of me figure out why the Red Sox want Eric Hosmer, but they're getting Eric Hosmer, I guess. So we know that Hosmer is done.
Well,
with that part of it.
This is what Passan said. With Eric Hosmer out of the Juan Soto trade after rejecting a deal to Washington, the Boston Red Sox swooped in and will acquire him from San Diego, sources tell ESPN. The finances are unclear. Padres could pick up a chunk of money or could send along a prospect with Hosmer. So you got to wonder what else is going to happen with that. But the Soto deal is agreed upon, but it's not done yet. They have some time, a few more hours to be able to get that. Another one that has come through is the Los Angeles Dodgers are in agreement on a deal to acquire outfielder Joey Gallo from the New York Yankees. What do you think about that one?
Well, there'll be a party for Yankee fans on Joey Gallo because he has not played well there. They acquired him last year. He's one of those all-or-nothing guys. He hits a ton of home runs.
Yep.
He walks a lot, but he strikes out an inordinate amount of times. I mean, almost 50% of the time he's up there, which is mind-boggling. But he's really, I think, been hurt by the spotlight of the Yankees fans. They're all over him every time he gets announced. So a new perspective for him might help. I don't know how the Dodgers plan on using him, but that's an intriguing pickup for them because the Yankees are just like, good riddance, let's get him out of here, let's get to the next guy. Can he rebound? Because when he's at his best, you know, he hits a lot of bombs.
I think this trade deadline is intriguing because, you know, outside of the COVID year, it's the first year now that you've had the universal DH. That's obviously going to change some way of thinking for National League teams. You know, the American League teams always had that extra position, that extra hitter with the DH that, you know, they were trying to acquire, especially aging guys that aren't playing as much in the field. But now, you know, it's universal, and so the National League can do that too. So I find that to be kind of a fascinating piece with all of this.
Well, think about if the Padres get Soto. They haven't had Tatis the entire year. Superstar. Haven't had him the whole year. They're still in the wild card. If they can get him, Soto, and Josh Bell on top of Manny Machado and some of the other guys they already have, that's a really potent lineup. Now, they're not going to catch the Dodgers, but they would be in a pretty good position in a 2 out of 3. And the team they might have to face in there possibly would be the loser of the Mets Braves AL East race. So it'll be interesting to see NL East race. We'll see what the Mets do in the final hours here. The Braves have made some moves.
They have.
The biggest move that they made, though, Chase, I thought was a long-term move to lock up Austin Riley.
Yeah, Alex Anthopoulos has kind of made a career of this. You know, he signed Acuna and Albies to long-term deals early on, which, I mean, they're bargains now. And Austin Riley signing a 10-year contract worth $212 million that will keep in there for the next 10 seasons. I love this because he's just getting better and better as the years go on. And, you know, look, here in a few years, that's going to be a bargain for the Braves. But good for Austin Riley to, you know, decide he wants to stay in Atlanta, likes what they're building there, and he's there for at least the next 10 years.
The Mets get Jacob DeGrom back tonight, so that's almost like an acquisition at the trade deadline. It's been 13 months since he's pitched. But if they could have him healthy down the stretch to go with Max Scherzer, who's now healthy, they have outstanding pitching. They're looking for an extra reliever, maybe one more bat. There's a lot of rumors about J.D. Martinez from the Red Sox, maybe Wilson Contreras from the Cubs, although I don't know, disrupting the chemistry between the catchers and the pitching staff. James McCann, who is coming back from the DL, I think he lives in Nashville in the offseason. I'm sure he's paying close attention to see what the Mets do there. But can't say enough about the Mets-Braves race because the winner this year gets a bye into the second round. In other words, the two best records in each league will get a bye into the second round of the playoffs, which is different than the past. So it's worth winning that division. And those two teams will go head-to-head in New York for five this weekend. Five games, including a doubleheader.
The Braves also acquired pitcher Jake Odorizzi from the Astros for reliever Will Smith. They made a move yesterday as well to get Robbie Grossman from the Detroit Tigers, an outfielder, a good kind of depth move. And they also reacquired Adrianza from the Nats, who was with them last year as a utility infielder, and designated Robinson Cano for assignment, which they will likely release him. That just hasn't worked. Robbie Cano, not what he used to be, but the Braves, you know, doing kind of what they did last year, not making any big splashy moves at the deadline, but adding some depth for the run.
And they still have a lot of great prospects
in the system.
They are still stocked pretty well in that system. So we'll see if there's another big one coming here. There's still a couple pitchers that people are intrigued about. So it's been a pretty exciting day in the trade deadline, and there's still, what, 3 hours? Three-plus hours?
I think it's 5 o'clock.
A lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, I'm glad that my Braves could get one of your Tigers. So I know how much.
But you're still mad at the Braves, so it really don't matter. Or
no, just, I'm over it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not mad at them.
Okay.
I was never mad at them.
Okay.
No, I was mad at Freddie.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at the Braves. I'm not mad at the defending World Series champion.
I heard a wild rumor, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but there are some people that swear that Freddie Freeman will end up back on the Braves next year.
I think he'll end up back on the Braves before his
contract. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Is over with.
Yeah.
I think he will. Before his career is over with, I think he goes back.
I think he'll be like Pujols and he'll end his career there, like Pujols is doing in St. Louis. But next year?
That's what I heard.
What are you going to do? Just say, all right, we're going to trade Matt Olson straight up, you know, which is not Matt Olson's fault, the Atlanta native.
That's another guy they locked up to a pretty good contract who, you know, is young and is younger than Freeman.
Freddie could DH.
Good.
I know you could definitely go that, but I don't know.
It sounds crazy.
Far-fetched.
To me, far-fetched. But this was not somebody that was, you know, out of nowhere. This was somebody that knows the Braves that said this.
Somebody I know?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, then I trust that person.
Would you be happy if that happened, Chase?
Yeah, probably. Depends on what they're giving up.
You're going to have to buy your Freddie Freeman jersey again because you burned the last one.
No, I'll just go to the pawn shop. It's still hanging there. Go get it. That'd be interesting. Interesting indeed. Coming up, we'll put a bow on training camp today. Some observations that we had and what we're looking for the rest of the week. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp. We'll be back out here on Thursday. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Stillman and Company coming up here in just a few minutes as Jared and Caroline will give their observations from training camp today. But real quick, Willie, we haven't really given an update since the beginning of the show. Yakov Trenin had his hearing today, his arbitration hearing. He's wanting a one-year deal worth a little over $2 million. The Predators are offering a two-year deal at about $1.3 million. We haven't heard what exactly has happened, just waiting on a ruling now, which will come in the next couple days.
Yeah, it's important to know the process from here because last night it was sort of coming out that, you know, they had not reached an agreement. The two sides submitted their offers, and it's unique because a lot of times – each side will be going for 1 year as opposed to 2 years. But in this case, the Predators wanted 2 years at only 1.35. Yakov Trenin submitted 1 year for $2.4 million. So that complicates things a little bit. I was still hoping that as I woke up this morning, I would see that they had reached an agreement before they went into the hearing. We talked about this morning, that Craig Smith literally, and I remember talking to him right after he signed, he said, we were driving over to the place wherever they have these hearings. I don't know if it's a hotel or a courthouse or something. I don't know where they have it. But he was on his way over there, and they agreed. So they avoided having the hearing, which can be, you know, they pick you apart, right, on both sides. They talk about how great you are from your side, and then the team says, well, we love him, but he's not that great. He's not that great.
You know, it gets awkward after a while.
We had a very interesting conversation about that with Rocco Grimaldi, who was the last guy to go through this. And I don't know if it worked out. I mean, he got his money, but when the coaching change happened, it was a little easier to, you know, move aside from him when he wasn't flourishing. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but, you know, he talked about how difficult it was to go through that process. So Yakov Trenin went through it. The hearing happened this morning. I don't know how long it takes to have a hearing. I'm guessing it's probably done by now. But here's one question people are asking. Can you still come to an agreement in the meantime while the arbiter goes through all this stuff? The arbiter has 48 hours to rule on what happens. And so he or she will rule 1 year or 2 years. And that arbiter will rule the number that he gets for that 1 year or 2 years. So some people ask, well, could you, in the meantime, while that arbiter is mulling over, could you come to an agreement? The answer is no. You used to be able to. I thought you could too, but I asked that question this morning. That cannot be the case anymore. It's all in the hands of the arbiter now. Mm. He or she has heard all the stuff, and what they say goes. So I'm curious. I would like to see Trennan locked in for 2 years. To me, that's the most important thing
for
me. And obviously, if you can keep him a little under $2 million, that probably helps the budget a little bit, gives you a little more flexibility to make an addition to your team between now and the trade deadline if you see fit. But Trennan's an important cog. Like, for you know, you root for the player here. Look, if he gets what he wants, more power to him.
I mean, I could
17 goals last year. He's a good player.
I could honestly see it coming in at about 2 years, $4 million, so two per.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair over under.
Yeah,
right. Is about $2 million per year would be the over under,
which is kind of what I've thought he was going to get.
Yeah,
the whole time. But another big piece of news that came down today, the NFL has told the Miami Dolphins that they would be stripped of their 2023 first-round pick, a 2024 third-round pick. The owner, Stephen Ross, is suspended through October 17th and fined $1.5 million. This all coming from an investigation involving Brian Flores, their former head coach, basically saying that he was told to tank. Also tampering on three separate occasions from 2019 to 2022 with quarterback Tom Brady and then New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton. So a pretty significant penalty being handed down by the NFL. And I know that Brian Flores, he had filed a lawsuit alleging racism in the league's hiring practices that Ross attempted to incentivize him to tank or purposely lose games shortly after he was hired in 2019, and that Ross allegedly offered Flores $100,000 for every loss that season. I know that Flores has talked about this a little bit too. Well, but this is quite the punishment.
Yeah, but they're only punishing them for the tampering. They're not. It doesn't seem like they're punishing them for what Flores accused the Miami Dolphins of doing, trying to get him to tank. And rightfully so in a sense, because this is a process that's still going. And if the league comes out and says, okay, we're giving him this for the tampering, and on top of, you know, the whole tanking, we're going to give you an extra five games or take an extra first round pick from you. Well, that helps Flores in his lawsuit against the NFL. The NFL don't want to do that. So they're focused so much, they're focused more on the tampering than, you know, what Flores accused them of doing.
Yes, and that is disappointing. That's what I read from the comments, and I haven't gone into detail. But what has come up is that Flores said, I was disappointed that the emphasis is on the tampering and not the tanking, which is really the cardinal sin.
Like, yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
The cardinal sin is we don't want you to win. The tampering, you could argue, hey, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That happens. Tampering happens all the time. We just don't find out about it. Who knows what was going on with the Brady thing? Once he decided he was out, when the Titans beat them in Foxborough in 2019, there was all kinds of rumors on where Brady is going to go. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of teams involved. So I think I can see how Flores is disappointing. A guy told me, now I was the head coach, he told me he didn't want us to win.
Yeah.
And you're talking about some stuff that went on with Brady? I get that.
I agree. And I think Flores, I do admire him for, you know, he's put his career on the line to, you know, go forward with this, to file the lawsuit. You know, I think Mike Tomlin did the right thing by bringing him on the coaching staff, because I feel like if he had, you know, stayed out there, he was going to be viewed as persona non grata and probably never coach in the NFL again. But I think Mike Tomlin shares what, you know, he's going through and with the hiring practices, with the Rooney Rule and everything. And So I do hope that this helps Brian Flores moving forward.
I hope he lands on his feet, but this decision seems kind of
coach.
Political.
I loved that hire.
Seems kind of like political ruling today.
Exactly. And listen, he's going to continue to coach, but will he ever get an opportunity to be a head coach in this league? We don't know.
That's the key question.
Yeah.
Because he did a pretty good job under the circumstances, in my mind, with the Dolphins. They were a mess. Yeah,
I thought he was a really good
They
good
were ahead
hire.
Of schedule.
Yes, I agree. I mean, he
I never understood that.
He was a good hire coming from New England, and I felt like that he really had the best shot of the all the Belichick assistants to really doing something in the league.
Well, he got that team to the playoffs.
He did.
So
well, and he got them to 10 wins, and they missed the playoffs.
Exactly.
I mean,
and when he got there, they were completely at the bottom.
Oh, absolutely. And then gets Tua, and you know, trying to develop him. So obviously, more is going to continue to come out with this, but that is going to do it for us right here at Titans Training Camp. Coming up next, it's Stillman and Company. Jared's got his practice player of the day.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to miss that.
The scout from Louisville.
Scout from Louisville has his practice player of the day. That is all coming up next on 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.